You'll find in your New Testament, you'll find Thessalonians, you'll find 1st and 2nd Timothy, and you'll find the book of Titus, and then you'll find a little letter called the Epistle of Paul to Philemon, right before the book of Hebrews. I'll give you just a minute to get there, and we'll be looking at the book of Philemon this morning, amen, with the Lord's help. Well, we do appreciate the Lord's goodness, amen. I do, and I'm thankful for His faithfulness. And like it's been alluded to, when others fail you, thank God that He is there, amen. Amen. And He's good to us, and I just... because He's good. Amen. It's just not a lot to praise Him for. All right, the book of Philemon this morning. I'll give you a little bit of background while you're getting there. And if you hadn't got there yet, you might just want to just sit real still. Amen. But the book of Philemon, Paul, the apostle, in his ministry, he had come across and he met a man and become friends with him named Philemon. Philemon, in verse number 1, the Bible would tell us that he was a beloved brother. He was a dearly beloved and fellow laborer. And verse number 2 talks about that he had a church in his house. And Paul had got to be friends with this Philemon. And he got to know him and knew what a good brother he was. And Paul, possibly, some of us would agree that possibly Paul was the instrument that God had used to lead Philemon to the Lord Himself. And we get that for some verses later on in this. It's only one chapter, one little letter here. And so we understand that possibly Paul was the instrument God used to bring Philemon to faith in Jesus Christ. And here we have a letter that Paul the apostle was writing to Philemon. Now, a little bit of background about this letter. What Paul was writing about was a fellow that he had met while he was in prison in Rome. While Paul was down in Rome in the prison, somehow, I don't know if this fellow was in prison or if he just heard that Paul was there and he knew who Paul was and he came over to talk to Paul. I don't know exactly all the circumstances, no, but sometime while Paul was in prison in Rome, he came across a man by the name of Onesimus. Now, Onesimus was a fellow who was a slave, and what we would call a slave, he was a servant in the household of Philemon. He was a fellow that in that day and in that culture, he was owned by Philemon. Now, it wasn't exactly like the slavery of the United States days and early part of our history as a country, so don't misunderstand it, but there were slaves. There were different classes of people in that culture, and he was a servant in the house of Philemon. Philemon had rule over him. Philemon provided a house, provided shelter, took care of him. But Onesimus one day, evidently, he said, man, I'm tired of this, and Philemon came up missing a slave one day because Onesimus run away. He stole some things and he left. And Onesimus hit the trail, man, and he said, I'm tired of Philemon, I'm tired of this and that. And Onesimus left, and he ran off and he left the house of Philemon. If I get this all squared away in my mind here this morning, you bear with me. But Onesimus now, after he's run away, after he's stole, after he's done wrong, and listen, now he's down in Rome and he runs into the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul leads him to the Lord. I just get ahead of the story and tell you what happened. Apostle Paul somehow talks to him and leads him to the Lord. And Onesimus gets saved. Now, Paul is going to write a letter here of commendation and an appeal to this fellow Philemon. And he's going to tell Philemon, I want you to take him back. He's going to tell Philemon, listen, Philemon, I know he's done you wrong. I know, listen, he ain't been worth two hoots. He said, but I'm going to tell you one thing. He's a different person now. And he said, I want you to take him in. I want you to treat him right. And he said, I want you to treat him not just like a servant, but I want you to treat him like your brother. Amen. He said, I want you to take care of him because some things have changed since you last seen Onesimus, Philemon. Now, I'm going to read this letter, and I want you to take the context and the background that I've just given to you, and I want you to listen. Could you imagine Onesimus now, here he comes up the lane, he's got the letter, amen, and he meets Philemon, and Philemon's thinking, listen to me, Philemon's thinking, that no good, dirty, scoundrel, thieving, lying, runaway, what's he doing coming back? I'm telling you what, I can just imagine in the flesh, Philemon's thinking, that scoundrel, he's got a lot of nerve to come back now. Listen, in his day, in that culture, Philemon had the right and the authority to have him persecuted, possibly even put to death for running away and stealing. Now, Onesimus comes up and he says, Philemon, hold on, I got something for you. Before Philemon even goes into it, he hands a letter. And he takes that letter that's rolled up and he says, Philemon, I got something for you to read. And Philemon opens it up and this is what he reads. And it says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, Our brother, could you imagine Philemon says, whoa, man, here's a letter from Paul. Y'all remember Paul? Paul led us to the Lord. But to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. And Philemon's thinking, man, I love old Paul. He loves me in the Lord. To our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier. He said, hey, Apphia and Archippus, he's talking to y'all in this letter. And he said, and to the church in thy house. Evidently, Philemon, they didn't have a big building like we've got today. Evidently, Philemon, listen, on Sundays, on the Lord's Day, evidently the believers in that area, they came over to Philemon's house and they had church at his house. Yeah. And he said, listen, watch this. He said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philemon's like, hey, boys, hey church. He's telling us exactly what he told us when he was here. Amen. About the grace and the peace of God. Then he says this. He says to Philemon, he says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Can you imagine the joy in their hearts? They're thinking, man, he's heard about our testimony and how we love the Lord and how we love the children of God. He says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolations in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And they say, man, Paul's saying that, listen, our testimony, when they hear about us, man, other Christians are encouraged. They're happy. Wherefore, he said, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not forcing this on you, but what I'm doing is I'm asking you in love. I got something to ask you. And he says in verse 9, here's what I'm asking you. He said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. Imagine Philemon's thinking, that's that dirty, rotten scoundrel. That's that thieving, no good, dirty, stinking slave of mine that run away. And Paul said, for my son Onesimus. And Philemon's scratching his head as he reads this, and he says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Paul's a prisoner now. He's in his bonds physically. And he said he's a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Philemon's thinking, wow. He goes on, he says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. And he's thinking, yeah, I guarantee you he's unprofitable. He wasn't worth two hoots when he was with me. And then he run off and stole from me and left me. You better believe it, Paul, he was unprofitable. But now profitable to thee and to me. What are you talking about, Paul? We're talking about Onesimus. He's the most unprofitable, worthless person in my household. Paul said, whom I have sinned again. He said, yeah, he's here. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own body. He said, I'm going to receive him. Paul said, that's my heart. Did you receive him whom I would have retained with me? He said, what, you would have kept him, Paul? Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Paul, what are you talking about? You would have retained. You want this worthless Onesimus? But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Paul said, here's what Paul said. Paul said, Philemon, I would have kept him because I like him so much. But I'm not going to do that against your will. I'm sending him back. Unless you want to send him back willingly, that'd be all right. But he goes on and he says, for perhaps he therefore departed or left you for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Paul said to Philemon, maybe he left you in the state that he was in so that he'd come meet me and then get introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when he come back to you, he'd last and be profitable you forever. He said, not now, verse 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother. Beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul said, evidently, Onesimus was of the same race, the same culture, the same. Evidently, maybe even some type of physical bloodline. He said to thee, hey, listen, Not only, listen, in the flesh, but he said in the Lord. Because now he's saved. He said, if thou, this is what Paul said about him. He said, Philemon, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him. That is, receive Onesimus as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Paul said, you owe me, Philemon. I'm not even bringing that up. I'm not even going to hold that against you. But he said, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd help us. God, as only you can do. Thank you, Lord, for this little letter. Great encouragement we find from your word. Great truths. Help us, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm preaching on this thought, profitable Christians or profitable church members. Profitable church members. The name, listen, the name here, Onesimus, it means profitable. Now there's a play on words here because we understand as we read this, there was a time in Onesimus' life when he was not profitable. Now in verse number 11, Paul said to Philemon in writing, he said, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Paul said to Philemon, Paul said, this Onesimus who used to be, listen, he used to be unprofitable. The word unprofitable there meaning he was inefficient. He was detrimental to your cause. He was useless. He said, but now he's profitable. That is, he's useful. He's easily used. He's fitting. He's meat for use. He's very useful. He'll be productive for you, Philemon. You know, as I think about this, Philemon had a church in his house. And Onesimus, being a part of his house, evidently Onesimus was part of the church in Philemon's house. Amen. And so as I think about this, I'm thinking that Onesimus, being a family, in the family of Philemon, and not only the family, but he was in the church that was in Philemon's house, I'm thinking that there was a time in Onesimus' life, and there was a time in the history of Philemon's church, that Onesimus sat in the church that was in Philemon's house, and he was a useless, unprofitable church member. Now don't get mad at me this morning, but I'm trying to help you. How can we not be a unprofitable, useless, detrimental? You know, there's some people in the church that they are not profitable to the church. They're not profitable to the cause of Christ. Listen, they're on the church roll. Are you listening? They're on the church roll. They sit in the pews. But they're not doing anything for the cause of Christ. Onesimus was a slave in the house of Philemon. But watch this. He ran away. He was a thief. He was not living up to his name because the very name Onesimus means profitable. Until he got saved. I'm telling you, there's a lot of churches that are filled with a lot of people. Members even of the churches who they name the name of Christ. They're on the church roll, but they're unprofitable because they're not living up to their name. In this culture, names mean a lot. You could say all that over there is Onesimus. Oh, Onesimus, that comes from a word. We understand that means that he's useful. He's profitable to you. But in his life and in his livelihood and in the way he operated day to day in his conduct, he was not living up to his name. The Bible said he was unprofitable. But now, Paul said, but now he's profitable. Watch this. Both to thee and to me. There came a time, listen, there came a time in the life of Onesimus when a change took place. There came a time in his life where he went from being unprofitable to profitable. And he started living up to his name. Are you all right? Are you with me this morning? Watch this. In 1 Peter, in chapter number 2, there's something here about you and I. Peter wrote and he said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth, you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Watch this. He's talking about us. Amen. And he says in verse 9 of 1 Peter 2 that we're a chosen people. But in verse 10 he says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy of God. I would say, hey, listen to you. Listen, you may be in the church this morning, and you're sitting here, and you're not part of the people. You're not part of the church, because I'm talking about the body of Christ. You're not part of the children of God, because, listen, you've never been saved. But Paul said, but now you find mercy. Now you find grace. Hey, now you can be saved. You can be, listen, you may be here this morning unprofitable. Listen, you may be here this morning, you're not doing anything for the cause of Christ. You may be here, you're not bringing glory to God. But I promise you, there's grace in Jesus. Amen. He's got grace to take you and to change you from being unprofitable church members to being profitable church members. I'm telling you here, Onesimus, I'm telling you, I can't describe the worthlessness of his life. I can't describe, hey, how he was before he met the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm simply saying, after he met Jesus, hey, there was a change that took place. I look in this passage and I see in verse number 10 how Paul wanted him. Paul said, I've begotten him. And then I see how Paul wanted him. He said, I would have retained him, but he said, I'm not going to do that against your will. And then I see not only did he win him, and not only did he want him, but Paul went out on a limb for him. Paul said, listen, if he's wronged you, just put it on my account. If he owes you anything, put it on my account. Basically what he's saying, he said, hey, Philemon, if Paul stole, if Onesimus has stolen from you, or if he owes you anything, just keep a tab and put it under my name and I'll pay the bill when I get there. Yeah. Right. I'm saying he wanted him, and he went out on a limb for him. Now, I'm interested this morning. Ask yourself the question, how profitable are you? How profitable are you? Now, listen, I'm not taking a vote. Listen, we're not going to write it down this morning. But I'm not asking how much money you got in your pocket. I'm not asking how much money. Please don't misunderstand. We're not talking about financial profit. We're talking about how useful are you to the cause of Christ. How profitable are you to the local church? There was a time in Onesimus' life when he was unprofitable. He sat in the church pew. He was there when he wanted to come. And then he ran off when he wanted to run. Are you listening to me? Something happened. But now. Paul said in verse number 11. That's my text there. But now. Profitable to thee and to me. I'm interested in knowing, how can I be profitable? What made Onesimus become a profitable Christian, a profitable churchman? What made Onesimus go from being one who was detrimental to one who was, listen, profitable, useful? One who was worthy, one who was wanted. One who Paul would go out on a limb for. What changed? Well, number one, I want to say this right quick. I'm going to preach. Listen, my introduction was way longer than my message, all right? Y'all with me? Number one, listen, the number one way that Onesimus became a profitable church member is, number one, there was a change that he experienced. There was a change that he experienced. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Go back to verse number 10. In verse number 10, Paul said this. He said, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus. What are you talking about, Paul? I'm talking about he had a conversion. He was fathered. Hey, he had Paul, listen, when Paul called him his son, he's not talking about the physical sense. He's talking about, like he talked about Timothy when he talked about his son in the faith. Amen. Hey, I'm talking about Paul when he wrote this letter to Philemon. He said, hey, Philemon, Onesimus is now my son in the faith. He said, hey, there has been a conversion took place in the life of Onesimus. Amen. He was Paul. Hey, what can I say this? Only by salvation can this type of change take place. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works. Not of works, not of works, not of works, not of works. Yep. Not of the water baptism, not of the church membership, not of the financial giving, not of your attendance, not of works, not of your moral dress and life, not of works,
lest any man should boast.
Right.
I'm simply saying to you, the only way this change takes place for you to become unprofitable to profitable is because there's a change that you experience called conversion.
Amen.
Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and he told them people, he said, repent ye and be converted. Be converted. There's a conversion that took place. A conversion is a change that's experienced when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ and you experience the changing grace of Jesus Christ. There was a time when Philemon was useless, but now he's useful. He was worthless, but now he was worthwhile. He was a crook, but now he was a Christian. He was deceitful, but now he's dependable. He was faithless, but now he's faithful. There's a time when he was unreliable, now he's reliable. There's a time when he was bad for business, but now he's beneficial. There was a time when he was a taker, but now he had become a tither. There was a time when he was a griper, but now he was a giver. There was a time when he was discontented, but now he was a devoted, dedicated child of God. I'm saying there's a change took place. You say, what happened in his life? I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you exactly what happened. Hey, he was begotten.
Yeah. Amen.
Begotten. Being born again, 1 Peter 2, or 1 Peter 1, 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, hey, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth in me. Hey, I'm talking about, hey, Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter number 3, he said, Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Hey, I'm simply saying it's not enough for you, hey, to go through religious rites. It's not enough for you to say a little prayer. It's not enough for you to join the church. It's not enough for you to go through the baptistry. Hey, listen to me. You can go in the baptistry, go down a dry center, come up a wet center, still on your way to hell. It's not good enough for you just to be a faithful church member. I'm simply saying to you this morning that if you're going to be profitable in the kingdom of God and to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's got to be a change that takes place in conversion. Conversion! The change takes place. Listen, you're not saved because of the change, but if you're saved, there'll be a change.
Sure.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Yeah. Old things are passed away, yeah. And behold, all things become new.
Right. Amen.
I'm simply saying this morning, a lot of our churches are full of people that are useless. They're no good to the church. They're no good to the cause of Christ. Hey, they're bringing shame and reproach on the name. Hey, because they're naming the name, but they don't know the Lord. Hey, one reason a lot of people don't want to come to church faithfully is because they don't know the Lord that we're worshiping. One reason you don't pick up your Bible and read it is because you don't know the author. One reason you don't want to sing and praise him is because he ain't personal to you. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about a change that takes place in conversion. Hey, Onesimus used to be unprofitable, Philemon, but now he's profitable, verse 11.
Right.
Now Paul said, now he's profitable both to thee and to me. Little man, I'm telling you one thing. I'm excited about this message because I'm glad that God can take somebody that's useless, somebody that's unprofitable, somebody that ain't never counted for much. And God, by the good grace of God, can take that person and he can dip them in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he can wash them and he can bring them up profitable, worthwhile, hey, dependable, dedicated, hey, children of God.
Amen.
It's all by grace. It's the change that takes place in conversion. I'm simply saying this morning, let me ask you a question is, when was you changed? I'm not asking you when you joined the church. There's a lot of people join the church, they go through religious ceremonies. It's not going to get you in, friend. It's not going to get you friend. Hey, Onesimus was part of Philemon's family, household. He no doubt went to the church at Philemon's house, but he was lost. But he went to Rome. While he was in Rome, he met a fellow named Paul. And he may have already met Paul at Philemon's house before and recognized him and said, hey, Paul. And Paul said, Philemon, how'd you get here? And he hung his head and said, well, Paul, I ran away. And Paul said, let me tell you something, Philemon. Or Onesimus, let me tell you something. And instead of fussing about him and telling him all the things he'd done wrong, Paul said, Onesimus, let me tell you something. I met a man a few years back on the road to Damascus. And his name was the Lord Jesus Christ.
And he said, let me tell you something. Onesimus, he changed my life. He said, I fell down on my knees on that road to Damascus and I met the Lord. And he said, I asked him that day, Lord, what would thou have me to do?
Yes.
And he said, he told me, and he said, I've been doing it ever since.
Amen.
He said, there was a change that took place.
Sure.
He could have said, Onesimus, he said, I was on that road. He could have said, I was on that road, Adam. He could have said, I was on that road. I was going to persecute the church. I hated the church. I didn't have any desire to be at the church. I didn't want anything to do with the church. Only thing I wanted to do was cause them harm. He said, but when I got up off my knees, he said the first people I wanted to go hang out with was the church. The first thing I wanted to talk about was Jesus. The first thing I wanted to do was preach that Jesus had made a change in my life. Hey, Jesus can make a change in your life. And I'm telling you this morning that if you're sitting here in the church this morning and you're sitting on a pew and you've been here and you've been religious and you've been through a lot of different things, hey, but you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you that the only way you'll be profitable to the church, hey, you're wasting your time here until you meet the Lord Jesus Christ and get converted. I'm just being honest with you this morning. There's got to be a change that took place at conversion. Hey, Onesimus experienced a change. Secondly, not only was there a change that was experienced, but there was a character that was exhibited. A character that he exhibited. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, I see not only did he have a conversion, but I see Paul had a lot of confidence in him. He was faithful. Now, I'm telling you, we talked about that change. He used to be unreliable. He used to be one that could not be counted on. He was a deceiver, a liar, a thief. There was a lot of things. There's a change that took place. And I tell you, when you get saved, you're not perfect, but you're different. And if you never, listen to me, if you've never been made different, I check up to see if I ever met the Lord.
Sure.
Because I never read one person in that Bible that met Jesus and received him, hey, as the Lord and Savior, and it got up the same. They's all changed. Guess what? I've changed. If you're saved, you've changed. And if you ain't never been changed, you ain't never been saved.
That's right.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
Amen.
I'm simply saying there was a character that was exhibited. You see, before his life, he wasn't living up to that name, Onesimus, prophet. He wasn't living up to, because before that, hey, Onesimus, he's useless. He's not dependable. I heard a song the other day. It kind of spurred my thought on this message and got me thinking along these lines. I heard a song and it said something like this. It said, I wonder what kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me. It was something in that song about, I wonder how many people would have been standing outside if I'd have been the only one with the key. I'm trying to be mean this morning, but I'm going to ask you this. If they depended on you to unlock the church doors, how many people would be out in the parking lot this morning? Or tonight? Or Wednesday night? What's your character like? I'm talking about your lifestyle. How dependable are you? This was a guy who was a crook. He was a thief. He was a runaway. He was undependable. But watch this. The Apostle Paul, watch this. Something changed in his life. I tell you, something changed because Paul trusted this runaway, scoundrelous, thieving slave to return to his owner on his own. Now, let me ask you this question. Onesimus had the right to kill him. He had the right to have him tried, have him put to death. But he had evidently earned the confidence of the Apostle Paul because of his change in character. The Bible said over in Proverbs 25:19, that confidence in an unfaithful man is like a tooth out of joint or a missing tooth or something like that and a broken foot, a broken bone. I'm going to go over and read it because I don't think y'all are getting that. Proverbs, somebody got it, say amen. Proverbs chapter number 29. Did I say Proverbs 25? Proverbs 25:19. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 25 and verse number 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Did you get that? Confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now before this change took place, that would have been Onesimus' character. His character would have been dependent on him was like a broken tooth. How many ever tried to bite on something with a broken tooth? You can't chew steak with a broken tooth very good. Or a foot out of joint. You can't put much weight
and rely upon a foot out of joint. How many knows if you try to run down the road on a foot out of joint, you ain't running very far? You're not going to carry a very heavy load. Before the change took place, that was Onesimus' character. But watch this. I'm going to go back to verse number 10. How did this reputation take place? Hey, watch this. Number one, I see in verse 10 and 11 that he was saved. We see that he was begotten. We see, but Paul says, but now he's prophet. He was unprophet, but now he's prophet. He was unprophet, but now he's prophet. I see in verse number 12 that he's serving. Or excuse me, he's sendable. In verse number 12, listen, this blows my mind. This is a runaway, and Paul says, whom I have sent again. Paul is sending Onesimus back to the man that owned him, back to the man that could have killed him. And he's trusting Onesimus, who knew that. He's trusting that Onesimus is going to go right back to Philemon. Now, I'll be honest with you, how many of y'all would have went back? But Paul said, listen, I've got confidence. Because I don't know how long he was down there with Paul. I don't know how long he was in Rome. But something in his life, something in his character, there was a change. And there was a character that was exhibited. And Paul said, I believe Philemon that he's coming back and I'm sending him to you. What are you saying? I'm saying he was sendable. Let me ask you this. How many of you are sendable? How many of you can be counted on? You know what Paul said over in the book of Galatians? Book of Colossians? In Colossians chapter number 4, Paul, in verse number 9, Paul wrote about this man Onesimus. And this is what he called him over there in Colossians 4:9. He said, a faithful and beloved brother. He called him faithful. He called Onesimus. I'm talking about Onesimus, unprofitable. Listen, he called Onesimus a faithful brother. Are you listening to me? You may be somebody that, listen, you've not been faithful. You've not been what you ought to be. But I'm telling you, by the grace of God, you can earn a reputation by the grace of God that you're faithful. Because a change takes place and there's a character that'll be exhibited. I'm telling you, listen, saved people are not perfect people, but they're different. And you may stumble, you may fall, you may miss this, you may miss that. But I'm telling you, hey, by and large, you can watch somebody that's been truly born again, and you can watch their life, and you can almost bank on. Amen. Let me tell you something. Listen, one of the reasons I'm saved, I know we're saved by the grace of God, but one of the things God used in my life, Miss Tracy, and to bring me to the Lord Jesus Christ, was I was able to watch some church members, hey, that not only named Brother Eric, not only did they name the Lord Jesus Christ, but I watched them for 20 years. I watched them when the church was open, they was there. Hey, they was there on Sunday morning. They was there on Sunday night. They was there on midweek service. They was there at soul winning. They was there at Sunday school. They was there when the doors was open. You know what that said to me that they had something that was real. Amen. Yeah. They was there on Super Bowl Sunday.
Amen.
They had a character that was exhibited. I'll say this. Hey, Onesimus was saved. He was sendable. He was faithful. But watch this. He was serving. Paul said in verse 13, he said, whom I would have retained with me that in thy stead. And in other words, Philemon, in your place, because you're not here, he said, Onesimus might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. That word minister has the idea he's serving me. It's the same word we get the word deacon from. He's a servant. He said, Onesimus, he said, I'd love to keep him here. He said, Philemon, I would have loved to keep him here so that he could serve me, meet my needs, help take care of me while I'm in prison for preaching the gospel. He said, but I know I've got to send him back to you. You saying what happened? Onesimus, he had developed a character. Because there was a change. He had developed a character. He was dependable. You know, I know people that, well, I'm not trying to be mean. They want the blessings of God, but they don't ever want to bless nobody else. Right. They want to be leaders, but they don't ever want to follow. Right. They want to be teachers, but they don't ever want to be taught. Right. You ever say this? You'll never be the bishop if you don't learn to sit the bench. I'll just be personal with you. I've never been the pastor of any church or ever preached a message. And listen, it's been worth a while. Hey, listen, if I hadn't learned early in my Christian life to be faithful and to sit under the spout where the glory comes out and to listen to what the man of God says, You ain't 2 counts. Listen, let me say, you ain't 2 counts of a Sunday school teacher if you don't come to church faithful. You'll never amount to anything until you learn to be faithful and dependable. Are you listening? And if you don't tithe, you're robbing God. Don't expect blessings until you're being obedient. Don't expect to lead if you don't ever want to feed. First Corinthians 4:2, more brethren, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. He could have said a lot of things right there. He could have said it's required of stewards that a man be found knowledgeable, wise, spirit-filled. He could have said a lot of things right there, Brother Jerry, but what he said was, he said, 1 Corinthians 4:2, more brethren, it's required of man, of stewards that a man be found faithful. And I say this morning, listen, you may never be rich, you may never be the best singer, you may, listen, may never be able to preach, you may never teach a Sunday school class, you may never be able to give the biggest offering in the church, you may never have your name on the sign, but there's one thing that every last one of us here this morning can do, and you can learn to be faithful. Hey, listen, you can be in your place at the right time. You can be dependent. Listen, you can be a tooth that's not broken. You can be a foot that's not out of joint. I'm simply saying at church time when the bells ring, when the choir starts to sing, hey, is the choir going to be able to sing? Hey, because you're there, or are they going to be missing your part because you ain't there? We getting down here where the rubber meets the road. How profitable are you to the local church? You say, I want the church to grow, preacher. I want the church to go. I want the church to be something great. Hey, you know how it's going to get that way? Because everybody learns to be faithful. Listen, we're not talking about acts of God. We're not talking about sicknesses and providential hindrances. We're talking about people that ought to be here, can be here, and choose not to be here. We're talking about tonight at 6 o'clock, where are you going to be? Hey, man. Hey, we're talking about Wednesday night. If you ain't working, where are you going to be? Well, preacher, it's late. Yeah, I ain't never went to a ball game. It didn't start at 7 or 8 o'clock. And listen, the bleachers are full. It's late, preacher. They even got them now, and it comes on at 9 o'clock. Monday night football kicks off at 9 o'clock. I ain't never went to bed. Listen, when I was in Bible college and had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I ain't never went to bed until Monday night football went off. Are y'all listening to me? I used to come home, listen, I used to come home working second shift, and I'd come home at 11 o'clock, dead dog, tired, sweaty, grease running down my arms. You know what I'd do on Monday nights when I got home? I'd turn on Monday Night Football, and I'd watch the rest of the game. I'm just telling you because I like football, but I love Jesus, amen. Amen. Let me just say, you ain't going to pry me out of this church when it's time to be here, amen. Right. Listen, I'm not talking about when you're sick, when you can't be. I'm talking about when you can be here, you ought to be here. Right. They ought to be able to set the clock and say, yep, they're going to be here. Hey, at 6 o'clock, I know old sister so-and-so, she's going to be at church. Right. I'm talking about faithfulness. Listen, I'm talking about Sunday school. I'm talking about Sunday morning. If you come to church once a week, you ain't getting but a third of what God's got for you. Right. It'd probably do me physically some good to go on a third of the meals I eat. But spiritually, I ain't going to go too far on a third of the meals I eat. I might back it off from a third to a quarter of the meals. Because if you don't come on Wednesday night and Sunday night, you probably don't come to Sunday school. And I'm not trying to be mean to you, but I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm trying to encourage you. I want you to be profitable. I want you to be useful. I want you to go and glow for the glory of God. I want to see this church booming. I want to see sinners saved. I want to see the church full. I want to see the walls knocked down. I want to see people praising the Lord. I want to hear people shouting and running and praising God for the goodness of God because people's being saved. Amen. But people will go up and learn to be faithful. Hey, listen, there's a character in these big cities. Are you saved? Are you sendable? Are you serving? There's people here that could be Sunday school teachers. You could be ushers. Hey, you could be nursery workers. But you ain't here half the time. You can't teach Sunday school. You can't teach junior church. Everybody said, "Why? We ain't got but one." Listen, right now we ain't got but one person to work with the children downstairs. They can't be a mission church every Sunday. If you come to church and you don't ever hear the preaching,
You're going to starve. And then you're going to be saying, oh, I can get what I got. And then they're going to quit. Are you listening?
Yeah.
There's gaps that need to be filled. But people, we got to learn to be faithful. There's a change in experience. There's a character he exhibited. There's a companionship he enjoyed. When he got saved, listen to me. When he got saved, he evidently started liking hanging around the Apostle Paul. I hear people all the time talking about how the church ought to water things down. And how preachers ought to, you know, don't act so, don't dress a certain way. Just dress down. Make people feel more comfortable. Let me just be honest with you, Brother Robbie. Before I got saved, I didn't feel comfortable at church. Before I got saved, preachers, I shunned them. Are you listening to me? I know this blows your mind, but there's a time, listen, there was a time in my life when preachers came in church and I'd go out the back door. I didn't want them coming up me talking to me. You know why? Because I was scared of them. Because I wasn't right. I don't know if y'all picking this up.
Good.
I didn't like going to church before I got saved. I didn't like hanging out with Christians. I had my crew. I had my friends. I had my the people I like to hang out with. And we didn't go around like worshiping Satan and carving 666, but we didn't want nothing to do with things of God. We didn't want to talk about the Bible. We didn't sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound.
Come on,
yeah. We were singing Boot, Scoot, and Buggy. But a change took place.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? A change. When you get saved, a change will take place. Amen? When you get saved, Wendy, a change will take place.
Amen.
I want your sins to grow up. Hey, when you get saved, a change takes place, and a character is exhibited, and your companions change.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you, I doubt you're saved if you're still running around with the crowd you run around with before you said you got saved. Not because you had to be mean to them, but hey, listen, you start living for Jesus, most of them will kick you to the curb.
Sure, that's right.
I got people, Brother Steve, in my life that I used to be friends with, and I still talk to them, I still speak to them if I see them. But after I started living for Jesus, man, it was like we had a race car shop, and people would come up here and hang out while we was working on the race car, and they'd talk and shoot the bull and talk about this and that and this and that. It's amazing after Jesus came in, after change was made. It was amazing how the character was starting to be exhibited. It was amazing how the crowd thinks. They'd look at you like, he's one of them now. People at work will call you over and say, man, you're getting funny on us, ain't you? You one of them fanatics? You're radical. Yeah, it was pretty radical when Jesus died on that cross for me.
Sure.
He's pretty fanatical for me. I mean, he went all the way. Why am I going to go halfway?
Right.
Or a third of the way?
Right.
Are y'all listening to me? What, you know what Paul said here? Watch what he said. Watch what he said down there about verse 16. He said, now... In verse 15, he said, perhaps he departed, talking about Onesimus, he said, perhaps he departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Receive him. In other words, let him back in. If I leave it, let him back in your house, put him back to work, and treat him right. Because in verse 16, he said, not now as a servant, but a brother. Beloved. See, Paul said in Colossians 4:9, he said, he's a faithful brother, but he said a faithful and beloved brother. Paul said, I love this fella. Hey, listen, there was a bond that had taken place. He said, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul said this, excuse me. Paul said, if thou count me therefore, in verse 17, a partner, receive him as myself. Paul said, listen to what Paul said. Paul said to Philemon, Paul said, listen, Philemon, he said, I love Onesimus. He said, when you bring him back, don't you just bring him back as a slave and somebody to mistreat, somebody to punish. Because now he's different. There's been a change.
Amen.
He said, so now when you bring him back, he said, I want you to know, number one, I love him. And he said, hey, listen, if you receive me as a partner, I want you to receive him as myself. He said, receive him as a partner. We're in this thing together. We're fellow laborers. We're co-laborers. We're in this thing together. We've got a comradeship. Hey, Paul said, listen, hey, we're in fellowship. We are a family now.
Yeah.
He used to be worthless. He used to be no good. But he's profitable now.
Sure.
He's a partner now. Paul said this. Not only count him as a partner, but Paul said, listen, count him as myself. That's strong right there. I'm talking about that's going out on a limb for somebody.
Sure.
In other words, hey, when he comes back over to your house, Philemon, if you don't know how to trust him, just treat him like you treat me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, and he goes on down there and he said, I, Paul, written with my hands. He said, I will pay it, I'll be it. He said, I do not say how thou owest me. Paul said, hey, Philemon, you know you owe me. Because evidently, Philemon had been led to the Lord by Paul. And Paul said, hey, listen, you owe me a little bit of honor there. He said, so you just treat Philemon. Philemon, you just treat Onesimus just like you treat me.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a companion that Paul enjoyed. Hey, Philemon, Onesimus loves me. We're in this thing together.
Sure.
He's a faithful and a beloved brother. Count him as a partner. Count him as Paul. And Paul said, not only that, he said, put his bill on my account.
Right.
He said, if he's run up a tab, whatever he stole off of you, Philemon, I'll pay you for it when I get there. Philemon, whatever wrong that Onesimus done to you while he was there, and by leaving, whatever kind of harm he's done for you, he said, Philemon, he's earned such respect in me, and I love him so much. And Philemon, you keep tabs of it, but at the top of the receipt, don't write Onesimus, write Paul. You know why? Because he was profitable. He's profitable. He's a beloved brother. There was a change took place. Now, Paul said, listen, Paul said in this letter, verse number 11, he said, in time past, he said he was unprofitable, but now he's profitable. There's a change that took place he experienced. There's a character that he exhibited. There was companions he enjoyed. He enjoyed hanging around Paul. He wasn't hanging around the thieves and the murderers and the crooks anymore. Can I say, I told you a while ago, before I got saved, I didn't like when the preachers come in. But you know them very same preachers, now they're my heroes. Are y'all all right? Them very same men that used to walk in and I'd get all, stay away from them. Them ones now, when I see them coming, I run to them. Hey, man, I want to talk to you, brother. Y'all all right? Hey, when I was a kid, Brother Sammy Allen would walk into church. And I ain't kidding you, man, you may not know him, but when I was a kid, and he's a lot older now than he was, but he's got the power of God on him. Amen. Hey, listen, when I was a kid, he'd walk into church and it was almost like Moses walked in glowing. Amen. You think, man, he needs a bath. I'm talking about he'd been with God. And when he'd come in, he was shining. I'm talking about his face glowing red when he get up and preach. And I'll be honest with you. And I'm not trying to put him on a pedestal, but I'm talking about somebody that walked with God. I'm just using him as an example. When he walked with God, man, I was scared to death when he walked by. It's almost like God walking. Whoa. Said, preacher, I'm not putting a man on a pedestal. But I'm telling you, as a sinner, as a lost person, people like him I didn't want to hang out with. That's so I can name others. And I say this, man, when I see them people now, I want to run up to them and I want to shake their hand. And I want to say, hey, brother, I love you. I want you to know I appreciate you. I appreciate your faithfulness down through the years. Hey, listen, before I got saved, Bobby Robertson would have been the last person I wanted to eat lunch with. And I enjoy talking to him now. I enjoy sitting down and talking to him, learning from him, gleaning from him. I'm just simply saying, it's amazing how your companions and your desire, the people you enjoy being around, change. Let me just simply say this. If you still enjoy hanging out with the ones that tell the dirty jokes, drink the beer, hey, do the drugs, hey, run around, cheat, swear, cuss, and steal. If you still enjoy hanging that crowd, I'd check up and see if there's ever been a change in my life.
Yeah.
I'm simply saying, hey, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The crowd changed. Let me say this. Paul said, and I'm done. Paul said, listen. Paul said, He was unprofitable. Listen to me. Listen. Look up here. Paul said he was unprofitable, but now he's profitable.
Yeah. Amen.
Paul said, Philemon, God's made a change in his life. And when he gets back, he's going to be different. Listen to me, and I'm done. Listen. In the first century, the early beginnings of the church, the apostles had died off. There's a fellow named Ignatius. Ignatius, historians tell us, contemporary, possibly even a disciple of the beloved John. Ignatius was one of the early, what we call church fathers in history. And Ignatius wrote a letter sometime in the early beginnings of the church. And he wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus. Listen to me. You can go ahead and start playing softly. Ignatius wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus that Paul the Beloved had started. John the Beloved had pastored. Timothy had pastored. And when Ignatius in the first century wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus, he wrote that letter, and the bishop at Ephesus, the bishop, the pastor, the bishop of Ephesus, the church there, was a man by the name of Onesimus. After Timothy passed out of Ephesus, we're no longer the pastor, the next pastor that they brought in was a fellow named Onesimus. That ain't in the Bible. You've got to study history and you'll find that out. You'll read the letter that Ignatius wrote to the church of Ephesus and the bishop, Onesimus. Onesimus, Brother Adrian, used to be worthless. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm not trying to beat you down because you hadn't been faithful. I'm not trying to beat you down because you're not saved. Listen, I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you. I want you to know that God can make a change. God took Onesimus through the witness of the blood of the Apostle Paul and through his testimony and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. Onesimus believed the gospel. There was a change that took place. There was a character that was exhibited. His companions that he enjoyed changed. And later on, this man Onesimus that used to be a slave, used to be useless. He was not profitable to the church, nor to his owner, his master. But he became profitable. Now he's profitable, Paul said, both to thee and to me. Onesimus, he used to be not dependable, now he's the pastor. So what he's saying, preacher? I'm saying this. I don't know you well. I don't know your heart. I don't know your situation. I don't know what God's dealing with you about this. But I'm going to tell you this. If you've failed in the past, if you've messed up, if you've not been what you ought to be, there's hope.
Amen.
There's grace. And God's got what you need. God can take your life. If you'll let Him have your life, God can take you and change you from being unprofitable to being profitable. He can take you and change you, make your life worth counting. He can make your life worthwhile. He can change you. Change your course of life. And you never know. Down the road. Listen, it may not be overnight, but you never know. Listen, when Onesimus was down there with Paul in Rome, I got serious high doubts that he knew he was going to be a pastor. He's a slave. He's a runaway. But when God saved him, God said, I got a plan for you, Onesimus. I'm going to change your life. I'm going to change your discipline and your daily walk. And I'm going to change your destination.
There's people going through life and you're not faithful, you're not being what you ought to be. And God said, if you just give your life to me, he said, I got a purpose for you. God says, listen, you're going through life now and you think life's hopeless and life, there's no point to life. And you don't know what you're going to do. You ain't got nothing, you can't. And God's saying, listen, you just give me your life and I've got something for you to do. I've got a purpose for your life. You listen, this morning, you can be a profitable church member. Amen. Listen, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're standing. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd take this message. Speak to hearts and lives. Have your will and way. In Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. If you're standing here this morning and you've never been saved.